We're holding on page 102 in Bavabastra, Osiyot Zayin. Continuing on the topic of tzedakah, the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Amar hen Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai l'tamidim. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai asks his tamidim, Bonai, my children, which means my tamidim, Ma'usha Amar Akasa, what is the meaning of a pasuk in Mishlei, tzedakah teroimim goy, tzedakah uplifts a nation, v'chesed la'umim chatas, and the kindness of the nations is a sin. The difference between goy and la'oim, the difference why, who is the goy who's uplifted by tzedakah versus who's la'oim, where their chesed is a chatas, why doesn't it combine the two of them together? So almost all of them are going to understand that goy and la'oim mean respectively the Jews and the goyim. Each one, I mean, you know, we can be called a goy as well, like Shrema Goyachad. We can also be called a la'oim, or la'oim, la'oim yamatz, but each of them is going to understand that the pasuk is showing an opposition over here between us and them. Nenner Rabbi Yezer v'Omar, so Rabbi Yezer spoke up first and said, Tzedakah Tereimim Goy Elu Yisroel. When it says Tzedakah uplifts a nation, refers to the Jewish people, and we know we're called Goy, Dechtiv, as the Pasuk says, Mikam Chayisroel Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So tzedakah, giving tzedakah, uplifts us, like we've been talking about before. What does it mean? V'chesed la'umim chatas. So what does it mean? When they do chesed, then it's a chatas. It means it's a sin, or chatas can also be something lacking. So it means, kol tzedakah v'chesed shal ivri kachavim oisin, whenever the goyim do tzedakah v'chesed, who chatas hulahem, it's actually a sin or a lack for them. She'in oisin eveles gadol boy, because they do it only in order to make themselves great with it. Shenema, as we find a pasuk in Ezra, where it describes over there you have the original proclamation that Kodesh had given to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. Later on, then the work was stopped for many years, and then Yoyavash had a search done in his archives and found the original thing, and he says, I want to make sure that all the needs of the Beis Mikdash are provided for. He says in his letter, Dila Havoin Mahakrivin Nichoichin Lela Koshamaya, in order that they should be offering Korbanus to Hashem in heaven, Umitsalayin and Davin, Lachaye Malko of Noihi, for the life of the children, for the life of the king and his sons. So we see that he's giving tzedakah, he's donating things to the Beis Mikdash just for the purpose that he and his sons should live. So it's only Leis Gadol Boy, they're not doing it L'Shem Shemayim. So the Gemara asks, what's the problem? Why is such a thing not considered a good, high level of tzedakah? It is a perfectly good kind of tzedakah. V'hatanya, we learn in a b'raisa. Ha'oima sela zula tzedakah. When a person says, this coin should go for tzedakah, v'shvil sheyichyu bonai, in order that my sons should live, or v'shvil sheezke l'chaya olam haba, or that I should be zoicha to the life of olam haba, harei's a tzadik gomer. Then he's a tzadik gomer. There's a different girsa. Rabbi Nachman, this Gemara is also in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Nachman has the girsa over there instead of Harezet Tzedakah, Harezet Tzadik Gomer, a different girsa, Harezet Tzedakah Gemara. Fine, maybe the person himself is not a Tzadik Gomer, but at least it's a perfect, complete Tzedakah. So we see that when he says he's doing it, that his sons should live, then it's perfectly fine. What's wrong then, what is Rabbi Eliezer saying is wrong if the Goyim do it? And the answer is loy kasha. There's no contradiction. Can be Yisrael, can be over kahavim. Indeed, there's a difference between a Jew and a goy, because Rashi explains a Jew does things basically l'shem shamayim. And even if consciously he's not, as we know, the famous thing that the Rambam writes that a yid deep down always wants to do what the Eibishter wants. So even if his children don't live chas v'shalom, nevertheless he still will not complain. He still will not complain against Hashem and not question Hashem's judgment. Whereas a goy is not like that. He's only going to give him a nas kain, and if not, only on condition that it happens. And if it doesn't, then he's going to regret that he ever gave the tzedakah in the first place. So therefore, for a yid to do it, at least, even no matter what, the motivation will still be there. But for a goy, not. We find something very similar, by the way, Shlomo HaMelech mentions in his tefillah when he dedicated the first Beis Hamikdash. Rashi brings it in connection with the bracha to Esav. We find by the brachas of Yaakov versus Esav, by Yaakov it says, V'yit l'chah ha'lekin, meaning mitzad midas adin. If you deserve it, mitzad midas adin, then you'll get it. If not, not. Whereas by Esav, he just says, Mishmanei Oretz Yom Shavacha, you're going to have the fact of the land to live in regardless. And Rashi explains over there that Shlomo HaMelech expresses the same idea in his tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis. He says that if a Yid comes to the Beis Mikdash then and davens for something, answer his tefillah if you decide, Hashem, that it's appropriate to answer his tefillah. But if a Goy comes, answer his tefillah regardless for the same reason. A Yid will not complain against Hashem's judgment, whereas a Goy will.
They don't get credit for the tefillah.
They can get credit, but it's still considered a chatos. It's still considered there's something lacking. In fact, the Rif says, that Marsha points out that the Gemara is going to soon say a different point, that they do it only in order to pride themselves on it, at least Yahir Boy, to pride themselves on it. The Altadam brings it at the end of the first Perek of Tanya, as we know. So Marsha points out, this Gadol and this Yahir sound like they mean the same thing. No, this Gadol means that they'll live long years, that they'll have a big, long life. So there's that. Yom Yaakov points out it can also represent raising children, as in Gidro Bonim. The Rif points out it can also mean not just that his children will live, but that they'll become famous as philanthropists, as givers. So all of that then we're saying it's not the right attitude. With that said, even by a Yid, by the way, even though the Gemara is saying Harez Tzadik Gomer, nevertheless, various Rishonim talk about that it may depend. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that if the Yid's only motivation is Bishvil Shiyichubana, that's not really such a good thing. When he's doing it for that, as well as because it's Eibishter's mitzvah, then fine, he can also have in mind Bishvil Shiyichubana. And there's different other points that we're showing him make. Maybe indeed it's fine and it is Harez Tzadik Gomer, but nevertheless, as it says in Pirkei Avos, an even higher level is don't do Amanas the Kabbal Pranas. That Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva that you have to gradually ease people into it. It may take a young people and people who are not yet there. You have to teach them that they do mitzvahs for the sake of a reward. Otherwise, they won't do them in the first place. Eventually, they reach the level. Eventually, they mature to the level where they can learn to do Shalai Amanas the Kabbal Pras. So Ogamara over here then, which is saying it's fine for a Yid to do it, we're talking about when he's in one of those intermediate stages. But it's still not maybe the best possible thing. Okay. So that's one meaning of tzedakah to remim goy v'chesed l'umim chatas. Nen Rabbi Yeshua v'omar, then Rabbi Yeshua spoke up and said, here's another way of looking at it. Also, the basic thing, yes, tzedakah to remim goy elu Yisrael, the first half of the pasuk that tzedakah uplifts the nation, refers to the Jewish people, d'chtivu micham ha'Yisrael goyach ha'baretz, who was like your nation, Yisrael, one people, one unique people on the earth. What's the chesed? Umim chatas, kol tzedok of a chesed, try to call them oisim, chatas ulahem, you know why it's considered a sin and something lacking for the goyim, lefishen oisim alakadeshi ki moshech malchusan, because they're doing tzedakah only in order that their kingship should last a long time. And by the way, also with the one we said that where he does it in Bishvil Shiyichubanai, one of the answers is when a Yid asks for longer life, after all, it's in order to be able to do more mitzvahs. Whereas a Goy, they're not doing mitzvahs anyhow, so therefore it's considered an ulterior motive, whereas for a Yid not. Now we're saying, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that they're also doing it in order that their kingship should last long. And Bechlal, that their kingship should last long is not necessarily a good thing. Eventually their kingship should be over, and we should get out of Golos, and Mashiach should come, as in fact the Gemara is going to talk about that point soon, about the Goyim getting Schusim and their kingship lasting longer. So now Rabbi Yeshua says, well, yeah, when they do Tzedakah, they have that motivation, and that itself is a problem. Shenema, as we find an example of that in history. We learned earlier in this Masechta about how at one point Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which Daniel explained to him means that he's going to go crazy and have to live with the animals and all that. And he tells him, Lohein Malka, therefore, O king, Milki Yishbar Allah, let my advice be favorable to you, V'chatoyach B'tzidka Fruk, redeem you are various with tzedakah, v'ava, you redeem your sins with tzedakah, v'ava yosach, and you're deliberate avedus, v'meichan anoyin, by having mercy on the poor people, hein teva alka l'shleiv sach v'gomer, and in that way, your peace will have a long continuation. And in the end, as we learned earlier, a couple of weeks back, in the event he kept this up for 12 months, and then he started getting proud again, and then the Eibishter said, that's it, your time's up, and you're going to go off and live with the animals. So we see, in other words, that he gave, so we see, that Nebuchadnezzar on his own never would have been motivated to give tzedakah. He only did under the threat of that he was about to turn into a wild animal, and even that he kept it up only for 12 months, and then he said, "What do I need this anymore? I'm not worried about it." So we see that their whole motivation, says Rabbi Yeshua, is only that their kingship should last. Next, Nen Rav Gamliel v'Omar. Rav Gamliel spoke up and said, now it's interesting, you know, you think about it, we have in Pirkei Avos, we have the five big Talmidim of Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai. We have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua we had so far. We don't find Rav Gamliel in that list. Nevertheless, we see from our Gemara over here that he was in fact a Talmid of Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai. So maybe he wasn't one of the big five, but he was still pretty important in his own right. Anyway, Rav Gamliel says, "V'omar," and he says, "Tzedakah turn him and goy eli Yisrael d'chtiv u'mikam chayisrael goyach abaret v'chesed l'umim chatas." What does it mean that the kindness of the nations is a sin? Here's another way of looking at it called tzedakah v'chesed. So, "v'chav moisin chatas u'lahem." You know why it's a sin for them? L'fishein oisin elu lehisyahem, because they do it only in order to pride themselves on it, to get themselves a big name. Look how generous and look how philanthropic we are. Now the cholam is yahar noifel b'gehenim, and you should know that anybody who prides himself, anybody who becomes a baal gaiva, winds up falling into gehenim. They're giving tzedakah, but nevertheless, if he's doing it in order to pride himself, then he still winds up in Gehenim. Shenemar, you know, the Alter Rebbe, when the Alter Rebbe brings us at the end of the first parak of Tanya, he points out the contrast. A Yid Nefesh HaBahamis naturally has a sense of tzedakah v'chesed in it. It's one of the traits of a Yid. Rachmanim b'ashanim v'goyim l'chesedim. Therefore, even a Yid does chesed, at the very worst, it comes from his Nefesh HaBahamis, but it comes from Klipas Nerga. Mashenkin, the Nefesh HaBahamis of the Umas Olam is all from Sholosh Klipas Atmeis, and therefore, in other words, there can't be any good in it, and even if they're doing tzedakah v'chesed, then we're saying there's always an ulterior motive, and there's always lehi siyah
b'ri.
This goes on going, right. No, it goes on going. Well, no, the point of Chalam Siyah and Noif of Gehenim, the Chalam Siyah and Noif of Gehenim applies to anybody, but the point is, when a Yid gives tzedakah, he's not doing it so much lehi siyah. Ultimately, underneath it all, is a motivation for good, because after all, the Alter Rebbe says it comes from Klipas Noiga. But now, the Rebbe explains in Shiur Masef HaTanya that when you have a Chosid or Masa Olam is different. A Chosid or Masa Olam, taka his Nefesh HaBahamas is from Klipas Noiga, like a Yid, and therefore he can be doing a true Tzedakah of a Chesed without any ulterior motives. We're not talking about him. I mean, you know, here the Gemara says Ovid Gechavim, which actually means, you know, people who worship idols. That's probably something that was changed by the censors. In the original, it was probably Nochrim or Goyim or something like that, but nevertheless, you know, there's a difference between the regular run-of-the-mill Goy and one who actually keeps the Shem Mitzvah's name. Yeah, the receiver is getting it. Nonetheless, yes, there is that, right? Yeah, right. But from the point of view of the nurse, then, yeah. I mean, you know, you could ask, percentage wise, do we in fact live in a time when many of the goyim, if not most of them, can be considered chassidim or masa olam? So in one sense, no, given that the Rambam says that they have to not only be keeping all the shev mitzvahs, but they have to be keeping them because the Eibishter told them to Moshe Rabbeinu. Relatively few of them think that way. Nonetheless, though, for example, the Me'iri writes that in his times, and he lived several hundred years ago, he lived in Provincia in southern France in the 13th century, and he writes that already in his times, most of the local goyim, the Christians, could be considered chassidim or masa olam. So apparently he at least holds that they don't need to necessarily have that motivation, as long as they're keeping the shev mitzvahs, and in his view they were, then they're good. Anyway. Shenemar, as we find the pasuk, Zayd Yohir, the deliberate proud person, late Shmo, he's called a late, somebody who mocks the Eibishter and things and Torah and so forth. Oysa be'evras zodon, he acts in a way that brings a deliberate his deliberateness brings a fury of the Eibishter. So we see that and the word Yohir means a proud person, a Balgaiva. That in Evra el Gehenim, and the word Evra in this pasuk refers to Gehenim, Shenema Yom Evra Yom Ahu, as the pasuk says, that day is a day of wrath, a day of anger of the Eibishter, which refers to Gehenim. So we see, therefore, that a person who's Misyahir is going into Gehenim, and we know that, and we see, and so therefore, as long as we know that they're doing it Kedele Yisyahir, then we have reason to say that they're going to Gehenim for it. Now, though, that there's still an important piece missing. Each of the other ones, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, brought a pasuk to substantiate what they're saying, that this is the motivation of the goyim, that they're doing it so that their children should live or that their kingship should last. Rabbi Gamliel didn't bring any such pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara continues, or therefore the Braisa continues, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Adayin Strichen Anu Lamudori. We still need what the Mudori said, namely Rabbi Lazar Hamudori. Hamudori means it came from the city of Modi'in. So we still need what he explains, because Rabbi Gamliel says, my explanation is incomplete. We have the fact that a person is a Baal Gaiva goes to Gehenna, but we're missing the link. How do we know that the Goyim do it in order to pride themselves? So, Rabbi Lozar Amudori Omer, Tzedakah Terem Goy Eli Yisrael Tzitzim Micha Amchol Omer, V'chesed Omer Chatas, when we're saying that the kindness of the Goyim is a sin, means called Tzedakah V'chesed, any tzedakah and chesed that the goyim do, chetu lahem. You know why it's a sin for them? Because they do it only in order to mock and put us down with it. Well, shenemar, here we have a pasuk for it. Shenemar, you find like this. In Sefer Yirmiyah, it tells about the Churban. Now, it tells like this. Yirmiyahu, all the years, have been telling the people there's going to become a Churban if you don't do tshuva. And in the last few years before the Churban, he was also warning over and over the people and the king, Sidkiyahu, don't rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. If you do, you're going to, then it's not going to come out well. You're going to have a bitter end. And they didn't listen. Nebuchadnezzar was aware of this. So therefore, when he gives final instructions to Nebuzaradan before he captured Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and so forth, he tells him, keep an eye out for Yirmiyahu and make sure to treat him well. So now the pasuk describes when all the Jews are being taken captive to Babel, Yirmiyahu was with them as well, and Nebuzaradan comes over to him. Nebuzaradan, the general, comes over to him, and he says, I was given instructions to treat you differently. But he says to Yirmiyahu, I don't understand why you're so upset anyway. Now the pasuk has the expression Ruhu Osir Bozikim, that Yirmiyahu was bound in chains together with everybody else. Now how is that? If Nebuzaradan was given orders not to harm him. So the Medrash says that Yirmiyahu, when he saw groups of Jews in chains, he would willingly go and put himself in the chains with them. He wasn't gonna stand on the side aloof. If Jews are suffering, he's gonna join in with them. So Nebuzaradan, the goy, comes over to him and says, I don't understand why you're so upset. I don't understand why you're commiserating with them so much. He says, Vayove Vayakarol, you were saying Nevuah all this time that this is going to happen. Vayove Vayas Hashem Kasher Giber. And sure enough, Hashem brought it and made it happen as he spoke. Ki Chatosem LaHashem, because you Jews sinned against Hashem. V'loi Shmatem B'Koyle, and you didn't listen to his voice. V'hoi Lachem Adavar Azeh, and therefore this thing happened to you. So in other words, he's telling Yirmiyah, I don't understand why you're acting like you should feel bad for them. You guys brought it all on yourselves. Now, so he was doing tzedakah v'chesed at that point. Tosfos points out for two reasons. Number one, the wording that he uses suggests that he believes in Hashem's power, at least to some extent. He's saying that Hashem brought it about. He recognizes that it wasn't my doing, it wasn't my army that did it, that ultimately it was Hashem. That's a big thing for him to say. Second of all, the fact that he was going on to say, as he says in the pasuk, Yirmiyahu, I'm unbinding you from the chains, you're not in chains, I was given specific instructions to take good care of you, so that's also a chesed. But we see that together with it, he's putting down the Jews and say, you brought all this upon yourselves. So therefore, Rabbi Lozar Amudori says, you see that when the goyim do tzedakah v'chesed, they're doing it only in order to pride themselves and to boast and say, look how big and great we are, and look what low lives you Jews are. So therefore, so it fits very nicely with what Rabbi Gamliel had said, that they're doing it only the hisyair. So Rabbi Lozar Amudori is saying the expression they're doing it lachara feisanu, but Maharsha explains, in other words, it's basically the same thing. So Rabbi Gamliel was making a general statement that anybody who, that they do it lehisyahar by. We need Rabbi Lozar Amudori's explanation to explain where do we see that they do it lehisyahar by. We see from this phrasing of Nebuzaradan's. That's an example. Well, so is the example when Nebuchadnezzar is also one example, and Dariush is also one example. But since it's recorded in the pasuk, then each of these tannaim is taking it that this is a paradigm. This is an example of how of the mentality of goyim when they give tzedakah. Okay. So in fact, also, Ion Yaakov points out, you know, all the things we said so far, to say that I'm giving tzedakah so that my sons should live, fine, and look, after all, it's not one of the Shev Mitzvahs, you know, they shouldn't do that. To do Shetim Moshech Malchosen is not one of the Shev Mitzvahs, you know, either. To not be proud, it's also not one of the mitzvahs, to not be proud, but here already we have, they do have a mitzvah of Birkas Hashem. They do have a mitzvah of not insulting and cursing Hashem. And when they do something like that, when they speak against us Jews, it's tantamount to speaking against Hashem, and that already is one of their mitzvahs. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar Modori's explanation is the most preferable, says Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara continues, Nenu Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana Omer, Rabbi Omar, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, then spoke up with another explanation. Of the pasuk, this pasuk again that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had posed to his talmidim, what are the two halves of the pasuk mean? But Omar, he explains, tzedakah tereimim goy elu Yisrael v'chesed liYisrael nami. He understands. He poses it like this. All this time we've been parsing the pasuk, tzedakah tereimim goy, karma v'chesed la'umim chatas. So in other words, the goyim do a chesed, but for them it's considered a chatas for the various reasons that we said. Now Rabbi Nachman ben Akana is saying, no, punctuate the pasuk differently. Tzedakah tereimim goy v'chesed. Tzedakah will uplift the nation, and so will Chesed, both referring to the Jewish people. Ula Umim, as far as the Goyim, Chatos, all they have is Chatos, all they have is sins. They don't have a true Chesed at all. So therefore, in other words, Maharsha says, because again, Jews are Rachmonim by Shonim and Goyim lechasadim. Goyim, at least the ones who are not keeping the Shev Mitzvah, are not. Therefore, the word Chesed cannot refer to it at all. It has to refer to the Jewish people as well. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says to his Talmidim, you know what? It seems that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's explanation is preferable to what I said and to what all of you said. Each of you were understanding the chesed to refer to the goyim, but he's saying that, but he's punctuating the pasuk differently. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying better than what I said. Where do we see Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said anything? We didn't have anything yet. The Gemara is going to quote that next. But first, Shehu Noisen Tzedakah v'Chesed l'Yisrael, because he's ascribing the tzedakah and the chesed to Yisrael, or the umim chatas, and he's ascribing the chatas own exclusively to the goyim. Now, one point is, again, Maharsha says because they don't really have a sense of chesed, precisely because they don't have it embedded in their neshamas like we do. But in addition, there's also the Chida points out that, you know, we have the piece of Gemara before. We have Turnus Rufus arguing with Rabbi Akiva that you shouldn't be giving to Turnus Rufus argue, you shouldn't be giving tzedakah because that subverts Hashem's plan. Hashem wants this person to be poor, like a servant who was thrown in jail and the jailers are told not to give him any food. So when you're giving the poor person, then you're undoing that. And Rabbi Akiva answers no, because we're not avodim, we're boni matim l'Hashem alekeichem, and the king would always want his son to be fed. So now he explains Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is going along those lines. Therefore, if they give tzedakah from their point of view, we're avodim, they have no business giving it in the first place. Therefore, for them, it's just a chatas. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that's the most preferable explanation. Well, the Gemara says, "Midkama midvarai." If Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying better than what I said, "Mikalda hu nami omar," that implies he himself gave an explanation of this pasuk. Maihi, what was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's explanation? We didn't have yet. We had to ask his talmidim, and a few of his talmidim explained. But what's his explanation? So, the Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Omar lahem Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, you know, there was a positive thing for the goyim in it. Kishem shachatas mechaperes al Yisrael la'olam haba, just like a chatas is a kapara for the Jewish people, kach tzedakah v'chesed mechaperes mechaperes al evichavim ba'olam hazeh. So too, when the goyim do tzedakah v'chesed, it is mechaper for them in this world. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's understanding of the pasuk was actually a positive one for the goyim. They can do tzedakah v'chesed, and it does benefit them, and it is a kapara for them, just like a chatas for us. So therefore, in other words, he understands tzedakah tereimim goy would actually mean that it uplifts that tzedakah uplifts and helps the goy, as in the nations of the world, the chesed la'umim, and the chesed that those nations do, chatas, is the equivalent for them of a chatas for us. But all the other Talmidim had explained it in more negative ways. But still, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's explanation is the best of all. But nevertheless, you know, again, you know, when we live in a time, especially when we live in a time when it's more possible to spread knowledge of Shem Mitzvah Shnei Noach and to teach them about Tzedakah V'Chesed and inculcate it within them, then the Rebbe points out, you know, after all, why did the Gemara have to arrange things this way? It could have first brought Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai's statement and then it say, you know, what do you Talmidim have to say? The fact that it puts his last implies that's kind of the bottom line. That's the final, in the final analysis, it is good when they do tzedakah v'chesed, and it does benefit them. What?
Even though the Alter Rebbe is
saying Lisiyah and all that, nevertheless, at least, you know, like you just said, you know, at least the poor person gets something out of it. And again, you can also ask the question, you know, which of them nowadays are chassidim or masa olam and which ones are not, you know. That's true. So according to Rabbi Yechiman Ben Zakkai, his own explanation, even if we're going to say that they have various improper motivations, nevertheless, for its tzedakah is being given and it benefits them.
So there's no mention of the yidden in this pasuk.
Yeah. Well, except for the fact that a chatas is mechaper for us in the same way that tzedakah v'chesed is mechaper for them. Yeah. More on this topic of goyim and the schus of tzedakah that they get. The Gemara says Ifra Hormiz. We met her a few blocks ago. She was the queen of Persia. Ifra Hormiz. We talked about Rashi in a couple of places. Explains that the word Ifra means grace or beauty, and Hormiz is the Persian name for Hashem. So it means she had a beauty. She had a beauty given to her by Hashem. That was the meaning of her name. Tosfos in some places explains that Hormuz was actually the name for a demon. So, you know, she had a demonic, a bewitching beauty. Whatever. She was the Ime de Shabur Malka. She was the mother of King Shabur. There were a couple of kings of Persia named Shabur. She was the mother of one of them. So it's not really related to Pe'er, but it's related to, at the very end above Matzia, we had a Pirya Namtia Lidab Shimon, that there should be grace and favor given to Lidab Shimon. So you see what it means, yeah. I did want to see an explanation, actually, that made a little more of a down-to-earth explanation. The father of this King Shabur that we're talking about over here was named Hormuz, and Ifra, somebody claims, is actually a Persian word for wife. So Ifra Hormuz would just mean the wife of Hormuz. Anyway, whatever the case, she's mentioned in a number of places in Shas, in where we had her a couple of blocks ago, where she one time sent some money. She sent a large amount of money to Rabbi Yosef for a mitzvah rabba, for a great mitzvah, and he realized that should be used for pidyon shvuyim. So now again, she's giving out tzedakah. There's other Gemaras that mention her very favorably. There's even one Gemara. Rashi said that there's even a Gemara in Nida, where it mentions that she sent samples of Dam Nida to Rava to examine. Rava says over there she was Kroival Adas Yisrael. She's actually very close to the Jewish religion. She didn't actually become a Geodis, but in other words, she's almost halfway there, kind of.
She's a queen?
She was a queen, Pashas, yeah, the mother of Shabbat Malka. She's the queen mother, yeah. Anyway. Shadra Dalad Meir Arniki Dinri or Lakameh de Rab Ami. She sent 400 dinar or 400 purses of dinar to Rab Ami. Dalad Meir Dinri would mean 400 gold dinar. Arniki Dinri would mean 400 purses of gold. Whatever. It was a very large amount of money. To Rab Ami. To use for tzedakah. V'loi kablinu, but he didn't want to accept it. Shadartinu or Shadrinu, the Kameh de Rava, she sent it instead to Rava, the Kablinu, and he accepted it, Mishum Shloim Malchus, because of peaceful relations with the government. She was the queen or the queen mother, whatever, of Persia, and Rava lived in Babel, which was ruled over by the Persians at that time. As far as Rav Ami, he didn't care about that. Some of Forishim explained, we do find that Rebbe, we know in the Gemara, as a general rule, any Amoro who has the title Rebbe with a Yud lives in Eretz Yisrael and has the original Smicha Ishmi Piyah. Anyone who has the title Rav, or no title at all, does not have that smicha. So Rabbi Ami then would have lived in Eretz Yisrael. He's not ruled over by the Persians anyway. He doesn't need to worry about Shloim Malchus. So if he rejects it, then he's not worried about it's going to cause her to not like Jews.
She sent it to where?
She sent it to Rabbi Ami, but Pashto sent it in Eretz Yisrael.
It was in Eretz Yisrael, and she sent it from...
So according to that, she would have sent it from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. With that said, though, there are those who explain that maybe over here, this Rabbi Ami was, in fact, living in Babel at the time. We know that during that period, there were Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael who had to move to Babel because conditions were getting bad in Eretz Yisrael, so it's conceivable that he also lived in Babel. In any case, the Rabbi accepted it because of Shloim Malchus, because of peaceful relations with the government. So Shomer Rab Ami the Ikbad. Rab Ami heard about it though, and he objected to it. He was angry about that Rava had accepted it. Omar, he says, less lay. Does Rava not hold of what's taught based on a pasuk? Be voish ksira when their harvest is dried up, representing the schusim of the goyim. When those schusim are dried up, kishavana, they will be broken. Noshim boris neire soisa, and even women, weaker people, will come and light fires with them. In other words, Yeshaya is using the metaphor of like a tree that dries up, all the branches and everything of it dry up, and then people can just break it apart for firewood. So in other words, the meaning of the pasuk is, Rabbi Ami understands its mean, when, like this, the goyim have a certain freshness to them, representing the schus of their mitzvahs. When that schus is gone, then they're like dry wood, and then they just fall apart, and everybody can just break them up for firewood. So that being the case, why is Rava interested in giving Ifrahumis, the queen of Persia, the schus of giving stucca, which is then going to cause that their kingship and their rule over the Jewish people is going to last longer? So why did Rava do it? Mishum Shloim Malchus. The reason is, we just said, because of peaceful relations with the government, so he has no choice but to accept it. Mausha actually points out that Rav Ami also could have accepted it Mishum Shloim Malchus, but he could have at least, well, so wait, actually, let's, so 1 second. So the question is, Rav Ami Nami, so Rav Ami says still, I object to what Rava did, Mishum Shloim, Rav Ami Nami, Mishum Shloim Malchus. Doesn't Rav Ami also consider that Shloim Malchus is an important factor? Why is he not accepting it? And the answer is, fine, accept it, but at least he should be giving it out to Goyish poor. So he objected to the fact that as far as he knew, Rava had given it out to Jewish Aniyim. The Rava Nami, so what did, so doesn't Rava agree with that? Also Aniyah Ovid Kachavim Yavinu. He taka gave it to Goyish poor. The Rav Ami, the Ikbad, the reason why Rav Ami was angry, who delois saimur kameh, they did not tell him the whole story. When it was reported to him that Rava had accepted this great gift, he was not told that Rava had given it out to Goyim. So therefore he figured in that case, and you're causing them to have a schus that they shouldn't necessarily have. And in fact, Marashah says Rav Ami in that case could have done the same thing as well, but maybe in his place there didn't happen to be any Goyish poor. Now Rashi brings up the point as follows. When we learned earlier that the same Ifra Hormiz sent a large amount of money to Rabbi Yosef, and we said Rabbi Yosef accepted it and used it for Pidyon Shvuyim, so there also it was Mishum Shloim Malchus, but there he used it for Pidyon Shvuyim for Jews. So why over here are we saying that Rava has to give it out to Goyish poor? So Rashi says the difference is like this. When she said, I want you to use it for a mitzvah rabba, for a great mitzvah. And Rabbi Yosef understood that means Pidyon Shvuyim. Now, you can't do, also Lignav Das Abrius, you're not allowed to mislead somebody. So if she's sending him for Pidyon Shvuyim, which by definition is going to be for Jewish Pidyon Shvuyim, Jews don't go and redeem Goyish captives. So therefore, there's no choice but to use it for Jewish ones. I be Voish Ksira and all that, there's really no choice. She sent it to him and he couldn't refuse it because of Shloim Malchus. But when she sends it to Rava without any strings attached, then fine, Rava can give it to Goyish poor, because fine, that's not Gnevis Das. It is true. We have a halacha, a farnesin, and a goyim, and a Yisrael. We do in fact give tzedakah to the Goyish poor together with the Jewish poor because of Shalom, because of Dauke Shalom. So therefore, she knows to begin with that Rava is going to sometimes be giving tzedakah to the Goyish poor. So fine, here he's giving all this amount to them, but it's not Gnevis Das.
It's not
as much of a schus though. The schus would be if it's really going to Jewish aniyim. There is, by the way, quite a bit of discussion among the poskim about the issue. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch based on a Gemara elsewhere that you're really not allowed to accept tzedakah from goyim. At Befahesia. The Gemara actually mentions, I think in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, I don't remember where, that in fact if a Jew accepts tzedakah from goyim Befahesia, then he's posel leedus. If a Jew accepts zaka from a goy b'fahesia, so it's brought that the Gemara brings elsewhere that he's posel la'edus. One thing is because for one there's a couple of problems with it. One of them is that makes a big chil Hashem. It makes the goyim say, look at that, the Jews don't even take care of their poor; they have to leave it up to us to do. Now there are various hakeirim for it, and for example, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that in his times where people really couldn't get a buy without it, then maybe it becomes mutter. Nowadays you have welfare and things like that, which are anyway, they are given out fairly indiscriminately, so therefore there's much less of an issue with that, but in any case,
So there's quite a lot of discussion about that. First of all, there is the concept if a person really can't live without it, then he is allowed to, because he's not obligated to be moser nefesh for that. But besides that, some of the posts can draw a distinction between an individual and the gabbai tzedakah. The individual, fine, he can collect for himself, but the bitzina, at least not with a hefia, but at least bitzina in private, then he could. Whereas don't worry about giving them schosim, whereas a gabbai tzedakah, such as Rava, who's collecting on behalf of the tzibur, shouldn't be doing that. There's a variety of other opinions and explanations among the Noseh Kelim on Shulchan Aruch about the details when you're allowed to accept tzedakah from them and don't worry about giving them schosim versus when not. Korban you're allowed to take from a goy, right? So fine, because a korban is not to anim and it's a schus, but it's not such a schus as tzedakah. So actually, one of the answers is that there's a difference, taka, based on this Gemara, whether does the goy actually specifically want that a tzedakah should go to goyim, to Jews, or does he not care one way or the other? If he doesn't really care one way or the other, it's not as much of a schus as we see over here. If Rehum is, doesn't really care whether her donation goes to goyish or poor, and then in that case, you can accept it and give it, and then not worry so much about giving them schusim. In other words, maybe a point to that, when Rava is giving it to Aniya over Kachavim, maybe he doesn't mean he gave all of it to them. Maybe he gave some to Jews, but he gave most of it to goyim. So, but again, there's a matter of Kiddush Hashem, but there's also a matter, there is this matter of Bivosh Ksira Teshavana. By the way, I remember I once read when the Rebbe started pushing the whole point of Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and the Mems, there were Rabbanim who argued against it also based on this Gemara. What do you want to give them extra schosim and cause that their rulership should last longer? But the obvious answer is that no, you're not doing it in order that their rulership should last longer. If I can't, you're doing it as a preparation. We'll stack another of them. Shin Dal Yud. The Mechuyev also, yeah.
I'm sorry, this
person,
in Shari
Maisen, Tzedakah
Shabbat, as
you said,
she's giving it at that point,
it's going to be a split. Yeah, that's what we're saying. When the moisture of their Maisen Tzedakah disappears, then Oz Yishaveru, then they'll be broken. So the Ami is bothered by you, Ravar, accepting Queen Ifrahum is his Tzedakah, and therefore you're causing that their kingship should last longer. Yeah, there's another distinction that some of the posts can make between whether an individual goy is giving versus a queen of a nation. There can be that distinction as well. When an individual goy gives it, okay, he may have motivations like we talked about before, but it's not necessarily going to be because of that his entire nation therefore gets a longer time to rule, whereas when the queen is doing it, then it's a little different. By individual is not Shlomo Malchus, but there can be other factors, yeah. Okay.
Money was sent. The Rav said gates of stuff for Shlomo Malchus, right?
He accepted it because of Shlomo Malchus.
So then the king had the money. So how does it come out that Robert gave it on to Goy?
One second. If Rahum is the queen, hold on.
Yeah.
If Rahum is the queen, sent it to Rava. Now it's out of her hands. Now it's in Rava's hands. What is he going to do with it? So in the end, we're saying he gave it to the Goyish of poor people. Rav Ami had objected because Rav Ami had not been informed that he gave it to Goyish of poor. He thought Rava gave it out to Jewish Aniyim, and that would be a problem of giving the Goyim extra schosim that they shouldn't have. The Gemara continues, Tanya, Omru Olava Binyamin HaTzadik. They told a story about Binyamin HaTzadik. This is not Binyamin as in the son of Yaakov, this is a later person. Shoyimimuna al Kupa Shol Tzedakah. He was in charge of the Tzedakah fund. One time during a year of drought, during a period of drought, a certain woman came and stood before him to ask for tzedakah. She says to him, Revi, Parmesani, Revi, support me. Omalah, he says to her, Ha'avoida, I swear by the Avoida in the Mesmithnash, which was a common form of Shvor, there's nothing in the Tzedakah fund at this point. Now, Marshal explains he didn't realize that she's quite so desperate. He thought, okay, she needs, but, you know, it's something that can wait a little bit until we are able to collect more Tzedakah. Omraloi, she says to him, Rebbe, in Einatam Afanaseni, if you don't support me, Hare Isha Beshiva Banea Mesim, then a woman, meaning herself, and her seven sons are all going to die. And as we put it, we're at our last rope. So therefore, in other words, Marshal says, So he went and supported her out of his own funds. So the tackle was nothing in the Kupah Shel Tzedakah, but he at least he gave her out of what he would have used for himself and his family. Now that's the point. In other words, Maharshal says originally he figured she's not quite so bad off. She needs tzedakah, fine, but not so immediately. So therefore, chayecha koydmin. But now, when he's told that, that they're actually going to die of hunger, if not, so therefore he supported her out of his own money. At this point, by the way, it's not really an option we learned in the Gemara before, Maharsha points out, the best kind of tzedakah is when a person receives, but they don't know from who. Here, there's no choice in the matter. He had already told her that the tzedakah coffers are empty, so therefore he had to support her with her knowing she's getting it from him, but still, you know. After a while, eventually, this same Binyamin HaTzadik became sick and was almost and was about to die. Omru Malachi Asharis, the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malachi Asharis argued to Hashem, Ribbono Shelolam, Ata Amarta, you say in a Mishnah, Kol Makayim Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, Ki Lekiyam Olam Malei, that if a person keeps alive one soul among the Jewish people, as if he kept alive an entire world, or Binyamin HaTzadik Cheyachi Ishiv Hashiba Manea, and yet Binyamin HaTzadik, who kept alive a woman and seven sons, Yomus B'Shonim U'Otis Halalu, he should die in such young years. He was a young person at that time. Miyad Koru Lo Gzaudinoi, so immediately they whipped up his Zaudin, based in Shamayla, Tona, and we learn in a Braisa, his sifal, al shnois of Chabez Shanim, 22 years were added to his life in the course of this. Why 22? So there's a lot of different explanations. Maharsha points out that, you know, we find that Rivka tells Yaakov, you're going to be a Yashavtim, a Yom HaMachodim, you're going to have to be by Lavan for a short time, and the short time that he was away for 22 years, it was 14 years, and Beis Eiver, fine, that, as Rashi says, doesn't count, but you have 22 years that he was away from when he actually left, or from when he actually left. So therefore we see that 22 years are called Yom HaMuatim, so therefore that's the amount that was given to him.
That's 24.
What do you see, 24?
Esther Arba.
Maybe yours has a mistake in it. It's Esther Kof Beis Shanim, it says. Maybe they have a typo, and I guess they have a typo in the, interesting. So Maharsha says that's why 22. Ion Yaakov says that maybe what it was is he had only reached half of a normal lifespan. He was 35. Now when he's added 22 years, he has 57, which is a gematria of the word zon. So that because he supported them, Zazona Sa'olam, and he gives another calculation as well of how it works out in terms of the number of months. The Chidah brings a point we learned earlier in the Sugya that when a person gives tzedakah, he can get as many as 17 brachas, 6 for the tzedakah and 11 for the good words. Plus the fact you have the hay of Hashem's name brings it to 22. Ben Yehoyada makes a similar calculation, but he says the vort is, we said 11 brachas, and you multiply that 11 by 2, and therefore you have 22 years. And then there's a lot of other interesting explanations. When Yaakov says, V'chol asher titan li aser aser en olach, is 22 letters. So that's another reason for 22. He was Mekayim, what it says in the Torah, kol Mekayim nefesh achas, therefore he gets 22 years connected, the 22 letters of the Torah. And there's a lot of other different interesting explanations why dafka that figure. For the Malachi Asharis, always speak up. And because the mitzvah, as we say in Pirkei Avos, ha'orisa mitzvah achas, a person does one single mitzvah, koinolei prak l'techad, he gains for himself one defender. So here he has, he did a lot of mitzvahs, so therefore he has a lot of defenders in Shemayim. Ben Yehoyada also makes another calculation, why 22? He says you have her and her seven sons. Each of these seven sons is eventually going to grow up and be Mekayim Pru Uvu. So they're going to each have at least one son and one daughter. That means you have her, seven sons, that's 8 so far, plus the 14 children that those seven sons will have, which is 22.
You write a check with your mental gabbites about that. Where's the piers?
With the pierce, so you may not have the pierce. So maybe the guy by Tzedakah will do the pierce for you. I don't know. But you do what you can. All right. Yom Yom Mashiach Gula Beis Shvat. The Rebbe talks about in a Sicha that in the time of Gula, we won't need the Torah to be written down. We'll understand the Torah from Atzmus and Mahusa that says Torah Chadoshim Iti Teitzei. That means then you're going to have the famous thing that Kol Masha Talmud Vosik Osa L'Chadosh, whatever a diligent Talmud comes up with, is given to Moshe Nisinai, and the ultimate Talmud Vosik is Mashiach. They'll teach everybody this Torah Chadosha from Atzmus and Mahusa and explain it so well in a way that we'll see it and we won't need to have it written down in front of us. As in fact, that's the Pasuk says, Lo Yolamdu Oid Ishisrehu, nobody's going to have to teach anybody anymore. Ki Kulam Yedu Oisim, Lakhtanim Agdolim, everyone from small to great will know Hashem, so therefore we won't need to be taught from writing.
And I don't know if the Rebbe mentions in that sicha, by the way, but there is a point that the Sneh writes in his introduction to his pirush on Choshen Mishpat. He says that actually there's a certain drawback to learning from writing anyway, because always when something is written, there's always some ambiguity in it. There's always something that has to be clarified face to face. He says that that's actually an issue. When Torah Shabbat had to be written down, there was no choice, it was going to be forgotten, but nevertheless, we lost something. So Baal said, love it, then we won't need that anymore. Okay. Continuing with halachas of Asher Yotzar, another kind of Shema. Some people have the minhag that when they get up in the morning and the first thing they're going to do is go to shul, then they wait with saying Al Matilas Yadayim, and they say all the Birkas HaShachar starting from Al Matilas Yadayim over there in shul. And the idea behind that is because, after all, the main purpose of Netilas Yadayim, as we learned before, is to be mitahar ourselves before the Avodah, just like the Kohenim would do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And since the main thing of that is davening, therefore they figure that it's best to say Al Netilas Yadayim right before davening. However, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say that that would only be if you're going to shul immediately after Netilas Yadayim and right away started saying all the brachas, but you're not allowed to interrupt with learning or other things. If you're going to, for example, you're going to say Tillim before davening or Slichas or whatever, then better say Al Netilas Yadayim at home, which Lamai says what we do all the time. Yeah.